Are you a comfort creature? I'm a comfort creature. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with a thought for today. Are you a comfort creature? Rex and Little Love just finished guiding the San Diego Gas and Electric man as he was cleaning around the pole, the telephone pole, in front of the house here. And they were telling him how to do it and what to do it and giving him instructions. And he paid no attention to them, but he finished his job and went his way. And then Little Love decided, okay, that's it for now. So he crawled into his super king-sized bed and laid in one little corner of it, which he could do. But he's a comfort creature. He just is a comfort. He not only laid in his bed, he picked up his blanket and turned around so the blanket would cover him too. I mean, he's learned to do that very well. His mother has been teaching him for all of his 9 years. So, Rex, on the other hand, is a comfort creature, but he likes hands all over him. He likes people to pet him and pet him and pet him. And so he looked at the food on the serving counter here, and he said, I'm ready for my portion. And we had to say, you've already had it. Everybody else has had it. Now we're just sitting quietly here. Now, Rex, go and get in your bed. Or we didn't say get in your bed. We just said, Rex, down. And he looked at the floor, and he looked at us, and he looked at the food, and he realized he wasn't going to get the food, and he wasn't going to get our hands. So he went to his normal king-size bed, which is a giant Davenport in the living room. He didn't take the full double, triple Davenport. He took the double one, the love seat, because on the love seat, his body just snuggles right into the leather cushions, and his head just lays over the edge, and he is so comfortable, just so at peace. He is a comfort creature. And you know, when he comes in here to play, he dances around and jumps from place to place and person to person. And then when all is said and done, we wonder where he is, and he's snuggled up in the couch. Or he's out in the backyard in the grass, laying in the grass, just feeling so regal and so royal and so comfortable laying in the cool grass. What does it take to be a comfort creature? This morning, we set our schedule ahead an hour so that we can drive into town today. And so instead of at 7 o'clock me taking my morning walk, when the sun is out nice and it's cozy and snuggly, I took it at 6 o'clock. So as I walked around the property at 6 o'clock, instead of the temperature being 72, the temperature was 61. And it was a little coolish, but not bad. And I took it in my usual costume, and I walked around the campus here. And occasionally I'd go through a little valley, and in the valley it was cool. And then up on the sides of the valley and up on the hills, it was pleasant. But you walk into the valley and you feel the coolness. And I said, hey, I don't feel coolness. I'm a comfort person. I'm a comfort creature. I like things to be comfortable. And so I said, I feel just wonderful. And I took my hands and rubbed my wrists, you know, and pretty soon I was just warm all over, snuggly, snuggly, you know. Now, isn't that something, just to rub your hands and your wrists and be snuggly all over? What a small gesture that is. Now, why is that so? Well, when I'm laying in bed and I'm sleeping, and then I touch my body and my hands are cold, my body feels uncomfortable. Or if I'm lying in bed and I touch my body and my hands are warm but my body is cold, then I feel uncomfortable. So I don't touch myself. When I'm lying in bed, I have my hands off to the side or something like that, and I don't feel any temperature one way or the other, because our fingers are thermometers, you know that. That wherever you put your finger, that there is where things happen. But your fingers are not the actual thermometer of what your body actually is. Your fingers are the thermometers of what you think your body is. And if you think that your body is warm and snuggly and you touch yourself, your fingers are going to report that back to you. But when your body really isn't warm and snuggly and your fingers report it back, and they're going to say it's warm and snuggly, yes, that's right. They're going to say it's warm and snuggly because that's what you think they are. Now, when I walk the path in the morning and it's a little cool outside, sometimes it's even 50 degrees, and when it's maybe 45, 50 degrees, and it's still cool outside, I'm warm because I think warm. And then I don't think warm at all. I just think of what I'm thinking of. I'm doing my affirmations or my meditations, and I'm walking along, and I don't think a thing. I don't think a thing about temperature. I just occasionally look out at the wonderful hillsides and see the wonderful plants everywhere in the mountains around me, and I feel very comfortable. But it has nothing to do with the physiological temperature of the world around me or the world that I am. If we could just train ourselves to realize that's true in every area. Now, I say to any of you, oh, I'm going to the lake to go fishing. And you say, okay, lake, fishing, you know, you don't think me, but you think lake, fishing. And so you have a visual picture of the lake and fishing. And then I describe the lake to you. I say the lake is maybe about a 20-acre lake, you know, good-sized lake. It's almost a mile across, really nice. And the lake is so beautiful, you know, so clear and crystal, and the fish are jumping out of the lake. You can visualize that. I don't have to describe it too much to you, but you visualize fish jumping out of the lake. And then I say, and they're all trout. And you say, well, trout don't jump out of the lake like that. Well, what kind of fish do jump out of the lake? I don't know. Well, then why bug me with saying trout don't jump out of the lake like that? If we don't know, let them be a trout. Maybe they can be sturgeon. Maybe they can be walleyes or pickerel or any other kind of fish. But what difference does it make? You see, and you don't question me. You just think, fish jumping out of the lake? Okay, there are fish jumped out of the lake. And then you say, oh, what's next? Oh, I got in my boat, and I went out, and I fished right where all the fish were jumping out of the lake, and they just jumped into the boat. I didn't even have to fish for them. I just said, hey, fish, I'm going to catch some fish. Why don't you make it easy on me? And so they did. They jumped right in. Can you visualize that? Mm-hmm. You're visualizing it right with me. I mean, however silly, however outrageous, however exciting that the tale may be, you're right there. Now, your mind gives you the opportunity to do anything you want to do. Now, this morning, we were saying that we would like to form a committee of one and go and help Bill Gates spend his money. You know, he wants to spend his billions of dollars, and he needs to have guidance, or not guidance, but support. You know, some other people giving him help. And we're ready, you know. But we don't need his money. We're already spending it. And he doesn't even tell us yes or no, because he's not in the picture. It's just me and the money. And I'm spending it, you know. Now, how am I spending it? What am I doing with it? Well, I'm publishing all the books of the uni, and I'm sending a copy of the book to everyone on Earth, so that everyone gets a copy. And then we have our special television program here on campus, you know. And you think that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of work. But we assign, we dedicate, we delegate, you know, the responsibilities. So we have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sing and other beautiful things like that, and the symphonic orchestra in the background for this and that. And we have the cameramen and women and people who are, we have Steven Spielberg here doing the choreography in the background and all the beauty of the thing, you know. Isn't that exciting, you know? And we have a Gene Kelly, with the dance director, you know, showing us all sorts of neat things. You know, why not? Why not? Now, I don't want to get involved. I'm just the dreamer. I'm just the thinker. I'm just the creator. And then I let the creation go and play. You know, mm-hmm. I think much like as we would consider God, as we are God creating the world, we create these things and then we let it go and play. We let it go out and express itself. But being a comfort creature, we are not going to allow ourselves to be bogged down with responsibility. Our only responsibility is to
be ourselves and having fun.
Yippee! Right?
Right.
Now, is our responsibility to go out and take our message to the world?
No.
We don't have a message, do we?
No, we have ourselves and have fun.
Oh, that's what it is. Being ourselves and having fun. That's our message, yeah. And isn't that tough? Isn't that complex? Isn't that a theological conundrum? Doesn't that boggle the minds of everyone? And it really does. It really does, because people think it has to be something so intensive. It has to be something so complex. It has to be something that boggles the mind. And really, it's done unto us according to our belief. And my belief is, I'm a comfort creature. Well, and I like it cozy warm. And I like it beautiful. And I like to swim in cozy warm water, you know. Ellen likes to swim in cool water because it sort of wakes her up. But again, I'm awake, warm or cool, and I'm a cozy, comfort creature, you know, and I just like life, and I just like everything I do, and everywhere I go. I sit at my computer, and what do my fingers do? They dance over the keys. There's an inner music flowing in me and singing in me that's dancing out through the music as I play it on the computer, and I think, ooh, isn't that wonderful? And spelling the words right and having no mistakes and that sort of good stuff, you know, isn't that exciting? And then I want to reach out into other things. But it takes time to process them and times to learn them and times to do them. And I think I should be doing other things. Well, what should I be doing? Well, you should be answering that pile of letters you got there that have been sitting there for months. You know, yeah, you should really do that. Well, why? Why? I do it when I want to, you know. And I do it as a comfort creature. Now, if I'm going to go around living my life to fulfill other people's desires, what's happening? I'm not me. I'm not having fun. But when I'm myself and have fun, B is going to go back to Europe or Switzerland or someplace. She's going to go back there. And then she's going to be the ideal wife. She's going to be the ideal slave for her husband. She's going to be the ideal put down for the rest of the world. She's going to have to serve them and do everything for them. B, what do you got to say about that?
I am myself and I have fun.
And if it pleases you, you do it. And if it doesn't please you, you don't do it. And you don't feel guilty not doing it. You see, a comfort creature, a person who is a comfort creature, does not feel guilty leaving some work undone. But you set up everything. But you know, I can imagine B going back there, being, I don't like the word wife, being the word ideal woman. Does that sound pretty good? B goes back and she's the ideal woman. Now, as the ideal woman, how does she visualize the ideal woman? Is the ideal woman a woman who is always happy? A woman who is always the ideal figure? The woman who is always ideal health? The woman who knows everything? Who is everything? And the woman who likes everybody and everybody likes her? Isn't that something? Really, that's tough, you know. And are you the woman who does whatever comes to your mind the instant it comes to your mind, regardless? If you're right in the middle of knitting some socks and you feel like going for a walk, you just go for a walk. You might even take the socks along and knit them. You know, but basically, you set the socks down, and then you go for a walk. And if the neighbor comes over and says, "Hey, let's have a game of yust," you know, and you say, "Sorry, that's not my game. Let's play poker." And they say, "Poker," you know, but you know, they don't say poker. They say, "Poker? Yeah, that'd be fun too." Because anything you suggest is proper. And poker is proper if you think of poker. But if somebody else thinks of poker, you think it might not be proper. But it all depends on who you are. If you're a comfort creature, you judge no one in the world. Because if you judge anybody, you're not a comfort creature. You're sticking your nose in their business, and you're worrying about their way of life, and you're upset about their actions, and you think to yourself, how come they don't behave? What difference does it make? Do you behave the way you think you should, being yourself and having fun? Do you like yourself? Do you think that everything you're doing is just fine and wonderful and dandy? Well, go for it. Go for it. Are you a comfort creature?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a comfort creature. And Rex, he's a comfort creature. Mm-hmm. Little Love, my goodness, he's a comfort creature. Yeah. And we should take some pointers from these children of ours, our dogs. A much comfort creature there. And my son, he's a comfort creature. He had been married, had a son, and then about 8 years or more, he's unmarried. And then he found a girl in Florida. Here, California to Florida. I mean, he had to go across the nation. People go to other countries to find wives and stuff like that. Well, and he found this girl on the internet. And he said to her, "You know, I'll visit you." So they visited back and forth whenever he went to Florida for his fly-ins. And they got to like each other. And then he says, "Well, how about coming to California and live with me on my ranch, you know?" And she said, "One condition." He said, "What's that?" "Well, that we get married." Okay. So they got married. After 8 years of not being married, he got married. And then I asked him shortly after his marriage, I said, "Well, Mark, how's married life treating you?" "Dad, if I realized she was so wonderful and life was so wonderful and that being married like this is so wonderful, I would have not waited so long, you know." And then now, as 4 years went by, 8 years went by, 10 years went by, I asked him each time, not specifically, I said, "Well, married life still as wonderful as ever?" "Better, Dad, better, you know." Now, is he being himself and having fun? Is his married life fulfilling his world rather than being a demand upon him? When his wife wants to go and do something, she says, "Sweetheart, I'm going to town to do this. Have fun." And he says, "I'm going off on this fly-in." "Good. Here's a sandwich." And but he usually makes his own sandwich because he likes his food and she likes hers. I don't know whether they eat together because I sit at their table sometimes and they don't seem to eat at their table. They just are always eating when they want to eat and not when they don't want to eat. But I'm a table person, you know. I like eating at the table with my family and stuff. But that's my comfort. And other people's comfort is other people's comfort. And we don't always understand it. No. So I say to you, be a comfort person if you like. I am, because I like it. And I have such fun with my life. Mm-hmm. And I have such joy with my life, being myself and having fun. And you can understand why I'm so much pure love, unconditional love. I'm just wrapping you up in my unconditional love because I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.